All right, welcome everyone to the Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting for January 10th. Before we start, I have some announcements to make. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Engineering Services Section Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the committee using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue with the remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. I'd like to remind the public in attendance that there are media attending, that there are public comment cards on the table outside. If you have any questions or comments on any agenda items, please fill that out and return it to Ms. King to my left. The procedure for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I'll ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussions and questions from committee members. The committee then comes to a consensus to move an item to the board for consideration. Any PowerPoints shown at tonight's meeting will be posted to the SCV Water website. At this time, all the committee members are present, and we move on to item one. And Ms. Flores, since you're here, would you please give us an pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we move to item number two, public comment. Are there any comments from the public who's attending in person today?
Sorry, I didn't fill this out yet, but is comment also time for questions?
Absolutely. But please do ask or make comments on anything that's not on the agenda.
Please do or don't.
Please do. And then if you have any questions or comments on any of the agenda items, just wait until we go through them, and then we'll allow 3 minutes from public to make comments or questions. So we can kind of restart the clock right now.
Yeah, I just started.
I'm not sure if this is even the right place for this question, but I'm curious about, I noticed that there's an entire drip system in the Santa Clara Riverbed around like Valencia and Railroad, Bouquet Avenue. Seems like all the cottonwood trees are being watered there, and I don't know if it's by the city, and I just wanted to know where to find out more information about that. If that's even public information, I'm just curious, seeing the riverbed being irrigated.
It would have to be the city, it's not us.
Yeah. Mr. Cole, any additional?
We can look into a little bit if you give us kind of some specific information where it's at. And we can do it a little bit, but it's definitely not going to be our agency.
Okay.
It's probably either the city or an HOA or something like that, depending on where it's located.
Okay, so the second question then. So this establishment is separate from the city?
Yes.
Okay, this is a private organization?
This is a public water agency.
Okay.
So we have an elected board. We've got some members here tonight in a committee meeting. And then we have other members in a full board of 9 members that are elected publicly by the community.
Okay, so when you say the city of Santa Clarita is just a completely different system.
Correct. They have their own elected body of 5 council members that are elected by. Mm-hmm.
And so the only connection in this scenario to you guys would be that perhaps this irrigation is using water leased from you guys by the city?
Yeah.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions from the public? Attendance? Any comments, questions in public and virtual?
There is not one.
All right. Okay, so let's move to item number 3. I recommend approval of a resolution authorizing the general manager to execute an administrative services agreement between SCV Water Agency and NSCV GSA to provide administrative management and technical services. And this will be presented by Mr. Brodzic. Mr. Brodzic.
Thank you, Chair Wozniakowski. This item is a follow-on item from something that SCB Water started in 2018 with adoption of the Joint Powers Agreement and an earlier version of an Administrative Services Agreement. Those two documents allow for the creation of the Groundwater Sustainability Agency and the Administrative Services Agreement tonight that's the subject of this resolution. Is the tool that the GSA uses to provide staffing and administration to run the agency, the GSA. That administrative agreement has expired, and this resolution would direct SCB Water's general manager to execute the agreement and renew it. The agreement was heard by the Groundwater Sustainability Agency earlier this week, and it's president has since executed the agreement. There was one change to the agreement made during the meeting that I want to make sure your community is aware of. And it's a minor change on section 6.1 of the agreement. It lists termination and it states that upon either party may terminate this agreement in its discretion at any time for convenience upon 30 days prior written notice to the other party. During the GSA board discussion, that 30 days was changed to 90 days. One of the reasons that change was made is because the GSA meets quarterly, and so 30 days is a little bit too short. And so that's the one change that's been made to this administrative agreement. And with that, that completes my oral report. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
And before we move to directors, any questions from public? Any person? Any further questions? Oh, a quick question here. So if I look on section 6.1, page 12 of the board packet, it still stays 30 days.
Yes.
Has this been updated? And on the website?
Ms. Kang, I know we've updated it, but I don't know if it's... Can you help with that?
The packet was released simultaneously when the board meeting happened, so it has not been updated. But it will be updated when it goes to the full board.
Okay. Understood. Directors, comments, questions? No. Okay. Consent? All right. So we'll move this forward to consensus. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
Excellent presentation.
All right. Let's move on to item 4.1, status of Upper Santa Clara River Salt and Nutrient Management Plant, presented by Mr. Velasquez.
Vanessa should be joining us virtually.
There, everyone. Can everyone see me?
No.
No, not.
No, everyone can hear me though?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Yes, perfect. Thank you, everyone. I provided a written report. It was a written update within the packet, and I'm happy to provide any answers to any questions you may have.
Hold on, just show us a second.
Ernesto, why don't you walk through just some of the highlights of what the item is?
Sure. It's just it was an update to the salt nutrient management plan. Just wanted to give you guys a quick update on exactly what's going on. We had our last update to the salt nutrient management plan in April of 2022. And in the report, I've outlined that we have a 10-year update coming up in 2026. So in an effort to get prepared for that update, we are planning to develop routine data management collection activities. We're planning on doing some annual updates to the salt nutrient management plan model as well. And this is not only to prepare us for the 10-year update coming up, but also in support of the annual GSP report. The annual GSP report has a few different metrics that are analyzed, and one of them is assimilative capacity, which is taken from the salt nutrient management plan. So there's going to be a dual benefit in updating the salt nutrient management plan model on an annual basis. It'll help us get prepared for the 10-year report, and it will also assist in the preparation for some of the sections of the annual GSP report.
Okay. Well, before we go to directors, any questions, comments from public, virtual attendees?
There is none.
All right. Dr. Marks?
Ernesto, the last salt and nutrient management plan utilizes a different basis spreadsheet model than the groundwater sustainability plan. Are we going to be using something now that we're going to be at a consistent basis for the new plan?
Thank you, Director Marks, for your question. We did speak with John Porcello on this, and we are moving forward. We are going to be continuing to use the spreadsheet model, at least for this upcoming effort for this year. And he's going to provide some outputs from our GSP model regarding flows into various zones to make sure that we're matching up the inputs and outputs of the various zones with the GSP model. But moving forward in later this year and the next year, we're going to be looking at what improvements we can make to our spreadsheet model and what if there's any efficiencies that can be gained, any improvements that can be made to the model, any changes that we can implement that may be better reflective of the conditions of our basin. So it is in our we're keeping that in mind. But for this upcoming run within the next couple months that we're going to complete, we will just be using outputs from the GSP model to inform the spreadsheet model that we used during our last update.
More asking about the 10-year update. When we do that, if we're going to be using something that maybe relies on some the same database or the same to update that, when we do the 10-year update, as opposed to the
So it will be a process with the next couple of years. So as we're moving to this annual update of the salt nutrient management plan to assist the GSP, we're hoping to identify some areas that we can improve efficiencies, and some of that has to deal with data collection and data management, to make sure that we're getting everything in one place and standardizing procedures for collection. So historically, we have just collected the data as the reports have been needed. And now that we're going to do it on an annual basis, we're going to be looking at just standard procedures, who's going to be responsible for what, where is the data coming from, how's it going to be formatted, where is it going to be kept. So all that is in development.
Quick question here. So The annual model update is expected to be completed by March by Woodard and Coran consultants. I imagine that that will be presented to this committee when it's done. Is that right?
Yes, I will be presenting the results to that committee. It is mainly an effort for the annual GSP report as well. So whether if it's your pleasure, I can present it to this committee or I can present to the GSA board as well.
Just a quick question. So I know this is for informational purposes only, but has any of the directors requested this update on this particular nutrient management plan for this committee?
No one has requested. It was more for informational purposes to keep you guys in the loop of what's going on with the plan and what we intend to do within the next couple of years.
Okay. All right. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Let's move to item 4.2, status of water supplies presented by Exploring. Or is yours in person?
In person. Hopefully I can wing it. It's so used to doing that online now. Uni's going to help me with the slides. So good evening, everyone. I'm excited to share with you a status of our water supply update. The picture that I have shown here is from the first snowpack survey that DWR did, and you can see there's a lot of ground showing. What I thought was interesting just to share, they had to use that orange bag because there wasn't enough snow to actually get the scale to work. So what they had to do was take multiple measurements, put it in the orange bag, and then divide it out. So not exactly a good position to be in, but I thought it was a learning opportunity for us all. So keep it interesting. Next slide. So I'm going to go through our kind of highlights of our 2023 operations, where our water ended up going, talk about current hydrology, what's happening with state water project operations, and then kind of where we're at with regards to our 2024 operations plan right now. Next slide. So 2023 was just epic hydrology. Curious to find out if this will be my only 100% allocation year or not. But now that we've got that under our belts, we know we're good, right? Pretty exciting. It hasn't happened since 2006. So it's been quite a while, almost 20 years, I guess. And with all that water, we really pushed to maximize utilizing imported supplies locally. And so the graphic on the right shows you how we met demands in the valley. So about 76% of the water came from our imported state water project table A, and then 24% from our groundwater. Generally, it should be around 50-50. It's been a little 60-40 imported supply with some of the PFAS challenges, but this year, I think, was really successful in maximizing those supplies. We were able to maximize our recharge into our banking programs last year, even got a little more in than we are technically allowed to. So I'll talk to you a little bit about that. We executed 2 exchanges successfully, 2 transfer agreements successfully, and then we're able to receive Article 21 supplies. Thank you, Director Marks, for that great idea of how we could convince DWR to let us do that. So now moving into the future, we have that option available to use again if we need it. Next slide. So where did all of our water go? We had 123,000 acre feet of imported water to manage this year. I've kind of broken it down into the different water supplies on the right-hand side under the picture there. We had a lot of table A. We started the year with a good supply of carryover and backup, and then we had our Buena Vista, Rosedale, Rio Bravo, 11,000 acre feet as well. So where did that water go? In the other graphic in the green, we started, utilized as much as we could to meet local demands, put as much as we could into our dry year recharge program. So that's the Rosedale and semi-tropic banks. As I said, we got the full $20,000 into our Rosedale Bank this year in recharge, and we were actually able to deliver about 6,100 acre feet into semi-tropic. Technically, we're only allowed to give them $5,000, so they were able to take a bit more, which is good. Exchanges, earlier in the year, if you recall, we did a 3-for-2 exchange with Metropolitan to help get our carryover and back carryover supplies out of San Luis before it spilled, and that was successful. We did take the, you know, the 2 acre feet from that exchange agreement this year back, so there's nothing in the future for us to use, but that was a successful exchange. And then we did another 2-for-1 exchange with Rosedale towards the end of the year. It was up to 20,000 acre feet, and they were able, we think, to take around 12,000. There were some challenges at the end of the year, so they didn't get to take the full amount, but we believe, and I'm still waiting for updates, 12,000 went their way. So that would allow us about 6,000 acre feet back in another year. So that's pretty beneficial for us. Transfers. We did 2 transfers sold water to United Water Conservation District. They were able to take 100% of that water, which was 10,000 acre feet. We also did a transfer water sale with the Westside 5 districts, up to 15,000 acre feet. We backed off and said, you know, maybe 12.5 would be the max we want to go, but they were only able to take about 9,500 acre feet. So about 63% of what the agreement said, but we wanted that flexibility. So it doesn't hurt us at all that they weren't able to take it all. That actually will give us a little more carryover for next year. So we did end up spilling a little from the San Luis spill. It was only about 2,600 acre feet, so very small amount. And then the remaining of that huge amount of supply will be carryover for 2024, which is, I think, around 21,000 acre feet. I'm still waiting for DWR's information, but it's not a bad place to be, seeing as the year has kind of started out dry. Next slide. With regards to our dry year storage, I just kind of wanted to take us back before the drought. You can see this is a graphic that shows us our balances in our dry year storage program. So this includes our banking and exchange balances. You can see in 2020 was kind of the first year of the drought, also the first year that we lost a lot of wells and PFAS restrictions, I guess, or regulations. We had about 164,000 acre feet that year to start the year off with. And you can see as we went to 2023, we ended up using about 72,000 acre feet to help get us through those critically dry years. So that's where we started 2023 with about 91,000 acre feet in our dry year storage. So we still had a hefty supply there. By the end of this last year and the start of this year, we were able to increase storage by about 29,000 acre feet. And that's after all of the losses from putting water into a bank. So I think that was really beneficial, put as much as we can in there. And so at this point in time, the semi-tropic bank is about full. We really don't have much space left there. We do have about 24,000 acre feet of space left in the Rosedale program. So, you know, another significantly wet year, we could have our banks full again, which is basically where we started out in 2020. So we were able to make a lot of strides in 2023 with all that water. Next slide. So Director O was interested in some historical precipitation data and seeing if we could see any patterns going all the way back. So I have a couple slides with regards to that, kind of how often do these wet years happen. And so we have a 96-year record. And what I have here, basically the bar graph shows us the total precipitation each year from 1927-28 water year forward. The red line is our historical average for that entire time period. And what I thought was interesting just with this first graphic, you know, the last 30 years, I think, are pretty significant with regards to hydrology and stuff like that. So if you look at the 30-year average of the most recent years, it's a 16.2 inches locally. If you look at the previous, I think it's 66 years before that, it's 17.9 inches. So, you know, the more recent hydrology is definitely changing. And I think though the entire historical average is beneficial, we really are seeing a lot more focus on more recent history within the 30-year period. DWR is doing things that are similar because, unfortunately, the historical hydrology isn't really showing us what's happening now. It's changing. So that was kind of one of the first things I thought was interesting. And next slide. And then I tried to kind of look between, you know, the gaps between those really wet years. And last year was the fourth wettest year on record in Santa Clarita. So if you look at the gaps, you can see the time frames in between those biggest 4 years. And what I tried to do was kind of hone in and see, you know, how many of the years in those gaps are below average and how many are above average. And so it was kind of interesting. I don't know if there's a pattern there, but it seems out of those, out of the three, two of the years have 76% of the years below average and 24 above. So unfortunately, I don't think I found any great patterns, but it's there if you want more information. I have all the data.
No, this is good. Thank you for doing this.
Mm-hmm. Next slide. So demands. This is a graphic that shows us our total demands from 2012 to 2024 and kind of where we think we're going to be. And then I have that dash line up top, which shows us what the urban plan was actually projecting for demands in the last few years. And you can see it's quite different as to what really happened. But do recall that the urban plan doesn't project large drought periods or epic hydrology that will help demands go down. So what we saw in 2023 was that the demands were actually lower than they, by only a couple hundred acre feet, but they were actually lower than 2015. And I think it was a combination of, you know, epic hydrology locally, conservation regulations, and 3 years of drought messaging, and the community really took action to help use water wisely. So the combination resulted in low demands, which isn't a bad thing. And the green bar kind of shows us where I think we might be next year. I can't assume it's going to go down anymore. I always have to assume a rebound just so that we're planning efficiently. But I think we'll have a little bit of a rebound and just kind of depends on a lot of different factors. So that's where we're landing right now. Next slide. Current hydrology, and I found a crystal ball with some snowflakes in it, which I, you know, Santa didn't bring the crystal balls to any of the water managers. I've asked them. But we started the water year with El Nino conditions. The last El Nino winter we had was in 2019, which is a pretty wet year. There's been 7 El Ninos in the 21st century so far. 2 of them have been dry, 2 near average, and 2 wet. So that really doesn't give us much information. But so we'll see what happens. It's a roll of the dice. What we do know is that right now, to date, we've really started the water year out kind of slow. So it's not been a really big year yet, but there is potential to come. Next slide. Drought classification, we made some huge improvements. So you can see on the left there, that's the start of the 2023 water year. We were in some serious intense drought classifications, and the start of this water year, the state is looking nice and white and not indicating much drought. So we've made huge improvements with regards to drought classifications, which is always a good thing. Next slide. Precipitation locally for the, like, kind of looking monthly, you've got you know, the 40 inches that we got last year and kind of how that landed with regards to each month in gray. The average is in black, and then where we've been so far this year in green. And so we did have a bit of a slow start in this year, but December we actually got more than our average. So right now where we're standing is about 100% of historical average through December, which is not a bad place to be. I don't think we can expect the extreme hydrology we had last year. We ended up around 233%. Again, we'll see if that happens in my career again. Let's see. Next slide. So precipitation outlook, you've got the seasonal January through March outlook on the left-hand side. The green colors indicate a bit more precipitation than normal, so that's reflective of El Nino. And then on the right-hand side, you've got the more recent 8 to 14-day outlook, and it's near normal. So not really much happening in the next couple weeks here that's outside of our average. Next slide. And then looking at temperatures, same thing, the seasonal outlook for January through March is on the left, and you can see the red and orange colors, those indicate a little bit more warmer temperatures in comparison to normal, and that's reflective of El Nino as well. It's usually warmer. But then the temperature outlook for this week, as I think we've all been feeling, or I have, it's been freezing. So that's what those blue colors mean. So that's good as well, because that means that any of the weather that's coming in, which I believe it is coming in up north, there's a good chance there'll be snow, and that's beneficial to the water supply. So next slide. 6-day forecast. This just gives us a look at what we think might happen 8th through the 14th this week. Not a ton happening where we are, but you can see there's some activity kind of throughout the rest of the state and more so up north. So that's good in the Sierras. We like to see that. Next slide. Atmospheric river forecast. So there are some lumps heading our way, but I've put a line in there to kind of show where we land, and not a lot kind of in ours, but a lot of those, they're kind of like amoebas, you know, they change as they move through the weeks and you just never know what's going to happen. But, you know, the green colors and stuff, the probability, they're still kind of, they're a week or so out. So as they get more purple, it's more relevant information of what's really to come. So that purple blob is actually what's going to hit, you know, the central and northern California coast, I think, the next couple of days. So we'll see how those change. Next slide. Precipitation statewide. So this is a map. Anything green, blue, purple indicates kind of average, and anything red and orange, gray, yellow means below average. So you can see that the coastal areas are, you know, not doing too bad. The Sierras they're not there yet. So statewide, we're at about 60% of average and 26% for the full water year looking out. So again, a little bit dry. Next slide. Snowpack, definitely a different start than last year. The purple line kind of shows us where we're at in comparison to that bell curve behind it. And right now we're about 36% normal to date, 15% of the April 1st average. And then if you do want to click uni, it'll bring up last year. So very different place than where we were at last year. Last year at this time, we were actually hitting our April 1st average, which was bizarre. And we just kept going up from there. So much different start to the year. Next slide. Reservoir conditions are good. Same thing, you know, greens, blues, purples are good. They mean the reservoirs are at 100% or higher for this time of year. Right now, we've got about 24.7 million acre feet in our reservoirs, which is 115% of our average. So we're above average. And I mean, that's a good place to be. We can't count on the reservoirs to get us through many, many years of drought. So it is important to get that hydrology. But with regards to reservoirs, we're in a good position right now. Next slide. So San Luis Reservoir, if you recall, kind of towards the fall, I was a little worried that San Luis was going to spill because you can see there in the second October. So this graphic kind of takes us from October and through last year's water year. And then the second October is where we start this year's water year. So we, you know, San Luis Reservoir was pretty high. This DWR share is the darker portion, and the capacity for DWR share is that first dotted red line. And so in October, we had a lot of water in San Luis and thought there was potential, if we got that El Nino hydrology, that we could spill. Well, that has changed, and there's really no indication that we're not in any danger of spilling at this point. You can see where we're at. And this is a graphic from the end of December, but we're basically in the same place as this graph kind of ends right now with regards to storage. Like I said, we have about 21,000 acre feet of carryover supply in San Luis Reservoir. So that's a hefty supply for us. Not too much, though. So that will be good for us to have if it stays dry. Next slide. So allocation, we all know that the initial allocation was 10%. That's pretty low, but it's indicative of kind of the conditions we're seeing right now. And I think we're going to see that more often. The first allocation is going to be pretty low. So the analysis on the bottom is reflective of DWR's kind of allocation analysis that they've done in December based on the most recent water supply index, which is still very early in the year to get a lot of accuracy with. But the range that you see here is about a 10% to a 51% allocation, pending kind of what kind of winter we have. So this gives us a really good, I guess, range for us to plan with. And that's all it is. It's so early in the year, we can't take any of these numbers too seriously, I guess. We know we're at a 10% and we're hoping that we'll get better. But it really depends on the hydrology. So we can just use this for early planning. Next slide. DWR also presented a positional analysis with regards to where could the allocation be in May. So that's, you know, kind of towards the end of winter. What's the probability that the allocation is going to change? And I've put an arrow there to kind of indicate some of the dots. But basically, this graphics, it indicates that there is a really good probability that conditions are going to improve by May. So our allocation should go up, and where the arrow is and the two dots kind of show is that pending we have an average fall or a dry fall, there's anywhere from a 10 to 15% chance that our allocation will be less than 36%. So for us, that's really good. I'll show you kind of in the next slide, but we only need a 25% allocation or higher to not need any of our bank supplies this year. So a 10 to 15% chance that we get a 36% allocation or less is, I like those odds. Next slide. And so the infamous operating spreadsheet that I hope you all like. If you don't, you need to let me know and I'll try to reorganize it so it's easier. But I've got three different scenarios here, kind of utilizing DWR's analysis of a 10% allocation scenario in 2024, 25% and 50%. And then on the far right hand side, there's a kind of worst case scenario. What happens if we stay at 10% and then we get a 5% in 2025? So we can walk through this if you like. We've got the demands up top. The next section kind of highlights our groundwater supplies in each of these scenarios. And for the 10, you know, basically this year, we've got about 10,000, almost 11,000 acre feet we think we have available with the alluvial, and about 7,100 acre feet from Saugus. So we are still pretty constrained with regards to our groundwater supplies. We've lost a couple more wells to PFAS, and you know, it's going to be a tough year with regards to that. Every year will get better as more treatment facilities come online. But with saying that, as we move down, we've got our Table A supplies and our Buena Vista supplies that will help out. And then when you get to that line that's in italics, it says excess imported supplies. That kind of gives us an idea of where we need, like, are we short in this scenario at this point? Or are we, do we have excess supplies? And so the 10% allocation indicates that we're about 18,430 acre feet short with just our available Table A, Buena Vista water, and groundwater supplies. And so we need to make that up with our dry year water supplies. And so I think we're going to have about 21,000 acre feet of Article 56 water available. So we have that. To make sure that we land in a responsible place, I guess, with our carryover for next year, we would probably need to take some water from Semitropic Bank and a little bit, so 5,000 from Semitropic, maybe 5,000 from our Rosedale exchange that we just did, and then maybe 1,000 acre feet from Yuba. to make sure that we land at the bottom in that yellow there, around 13,500 acre feet for 2025. It does show that we're selling another 500 acre feet to Devil's Den. And the reason is because when in September, when we thought we were going to spill, Dennis needed to know if we would sell water to him this year. And we said, yes, we would. And so unfortunately, he kind of has to start planning and planting things. Luckily, he didn't plant a ton. He wanted 2,000. And based on what he did plant, he only needs 500, which I think we're fine with. So we did stick to our guns on, you know, we don't want to make things bad for him, but I've learned a lesson, let's say, not to promise any early water until I get the first allocation and kind of get through the year. So probably won't be selling Dennis any winter water again, because he's not able to wait till December. He needs to know in September. And so it's kind of complicated, but we have structured this water sale agreement so that we guarantee him 500 acre feet. And if conditions improve significantly, we can decide, the agency can decide whether we want to give him the up to 2,000. And so it's kind of left in our court if we want to go that high or not. So tried to stick to our promise there. But either way, we'll end up, you know, in this scenario, if we stay at 10%, I think it's minimal bank supply usage. You can see once we get to 25% scenario, we don't need any of our banked water anymore. We have enough carryover. We still end up with a healthy supply of supplies for carryover moving next year. And so I think it's very reasonable to assume that we will at least get to a 25% this year, hopefully, and should be good to go for next year. So what we've done so far is we're going to return to, you know, we had backed off some of our groundwater usage last year since we had so much imported supplies. So we've already started returning to maximize what little groundwater supplies we have. We're also utilizing our Article 56 next year first, just until the allocation starts coming up. And we're just going to basically continue monitoring the hydrology and get your rain dances in. Put that on the list there so everyone will start dancing again. And then, you know, hopefully conditions will start changing within the next couple months. I mean, I don't think it's going to change quickly, but we need to get some storms in, and then DWR will be maybe a little bit more comfortable increasing that allocation. So hopefully sooner than later. I think that's all I have. If you have any questions.
Okay. Any questions from the public, attendance, comments?
Where could I find out more about Devil's Den and what that is? Public?
Yeah, that's public information. It's available on our website too.
Okay. I was just like, is it the oil field?
It's a property up in the Central Valley that the Water Agency owns. So, yeah, there's a one pager that does a good job on the website.
Okay,
you'll probably find it.
Yeah, thank you.
Questions? No. Any questions from virtual attendees?
Okay. Marks. So the increase in solid supplies for 2025. What's that attributed to?
That, I believe, is attributed to 201 coming online.
Okay.
I think that's the big one. I can email you. I'll double check that because I believe that's the one.
Yeah.
It's the one fingers crossed. We've heard it will come. You can have it. Yeah. One other thing was that the Saugus got a little bit lower as well because the LA 36 Palmer well is actually down right now. So they did some rehab to that well, and they had some challenges with water quality when they got it back online. So they've been actually taking water from the Pitches Detention Center, and it's been almost a year now. So they're trying to figure out, they're actually going to switch over to our imported supply, but that drops our Saugus water down about 1,000 acre feet a year too. So
if you go back to slide number 8, demands over the years from 2012 to the estimated for 2024. So we're estimating 57,500 for this fiscal year. since, I guess, 2018, how off were we on our predictions?
I think our urban plan's always a little bit off. I can get that. I don't know it offhand. But it's, that's what's good about readjusting it every 5 years. Demands change and kind of reality of droughts and things like that change. So I can plug that in if you want me to and send it to you.
Just curious, because I think that the finance team uses a conservative approach to see what kind of what kind of money will be generated for 2024. Just based on history, are we always under or over for the most part?
I believe for the most part, we've always been under.
Okay. Right.
So at 35%, that's our real break-even point where we don't have to take anything out of carryover.
25%.
Well, 25, you're still taking water out of carryover.
Yes. Yes. But only like 5,000.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
Not a lot.
But that's good. It's a good plan. I like what you've done.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Helps with the demands being so low. That definitely
helps. I turned the sprinklers back on. So.
It's not raining.
Yeah, I finally
can't blame you.
I finally had to turn them back on.
If we can go back to slide number 7, kind of juggle between 6 and 7. Let's go to 6. What do we consider a wet year? How many inches? Is 17?
I don't know if we have a definition of that. I guess anything over above average. So
okay. Well, in with respect to equilibrium, where you know there's no penalties that we pay in terms of losing water or potentially having any sort of ordinances on saving water. What would that number be in terms of precipitation?
Nobody's ever.
I don't think that's only one component of what we analyze with regards to kind of bringing all of that information together. It's like one piece of this huge puzzle of things that we are analyzing. So,
yeah,
because there are years too that it could be dry here, but it could be wet up north. And so we may have a healthy allocation, which would indicate that we don't have water supply challenges. We may have imported supply available enough to be able to make up the difference of the precipitation we've had locally. So.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And yeah, thanks again for preparing these two plots.
Mm-hmm.
Chair Rozowski, I have just a minute. I just want to take a moment of reflection of these last couple of years and Sarah's leadership on managing our water supply portfolio. As you can see, it's a very complex, dynamic thing, and we've gone through, you know, driest dries, wettest wets in a very short period of time. And the management aspect of this is a large credit for Sarah and the other staff that work on this. And, these, you know, it's easy to say, oh, we did a 2-for-1, we did a transfer, but there's a lot of work, relationships, and all those things that go into that. And so we're in a really good position because of that work that Sarah's doing. So just wanted to take a moment to make that clear.
Thank you. And I did want to also let you know that we just started a contract with Westwater Research to help us do a little study with regards to giving us kind of an inventory of water banking, storage, and exchange opportunities. So when we get to our next surplus year, which will happen, we will have a nice list of people that have storage, are interested. And so it's a good starting point. So we're not kind of scrambling if we have way too much water. So I think that will be interesting. And I think that should be done March or April. I'll probably bring it back and just kind of let you know what information we gathered from this study. So
what did Westside do with the water?
They split it up between their 5 different districts. And they just put it back in the ground, I believe.
Well, they just spread it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of them participated in the current water bank.
Okay. And they were getting big credits for spreading water. Yeah.
Present a good question.
Sarah, the The chart that you put up with the 1927 to 1992 and then 93 to 2023, the number of years below average exceeds the number of years above average. Is that replicated across the state, or is that just, that's just our area, but is that pretty common across the state of California?
When I was putting this information together, I quickly tried to find kind of that information, that data, and I couldn't find it with regards to that far back to kind of see if there were similarities. So I'm happy to kind of, I would think I could reach out to Mike Anderson, the state climatologist, and he probably has that data, but.
I'm just wondering, you know, the argument for new projects that will allow us to take water when it's above average flows versus when it's average or below.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that looks like it supports the need to be able to take it when it's available. Everybody seems to recognize that.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if statewide, is this California as a state experiences the same kind of thing?
Well, I can. Yeah. My recollection is that.
Yeah.
That's the case.
Interesting. Any other comments, questions?
No.
I got to say, we certainly recognize your efforts. And I know it's easy to put a sentence and a graphic on a PowerPoint thing and that's it. But I think your promotion, clearly reflects your ability to do your job and how much you've actually contributed and brought to the agency. So on behalf of this committee, thank you.
Thank you
for your efforts.
Absolutely.
I have fun. Hopefully it doesn't get too boring with some average years. I don't know.
Yeah, it's different every year for you.
It is.
All right, let's move to item 5.1.
Thank you, Sarah.
Conservation Program Performance Overview presented by Mr. Cole.
Yes, thank you, Chair Rozanowski. Just a couple items. Unfortunately, Matt Dickens is having some health challenges, so he wasn't able to join us tonight. So I just wanted to do a couple high-level pieces in chatting with him that he wanted to make sure that communicated across. One of those is the Water Use Efficiency Strategic Plan. So that request for proposal will hopefully go out next week. And that's a key document for us moving forward. So you'll probably recall the agency and even predecessor agencies had plans like this before. And it's really designed to help guide how water sustainability conservation moves forward, the types of programs and analysis that go into looking at that demand question and trying to project over time what that's going to ultimately look like. We all know that we have new conservation regulations that are kind of the newest ones that will be going forward over the next several years. So this plan will look at those, analyze those, and try to come up with modeling forecasts about what that demand is going to look like for the future. So it's quite an involved plan, and it will take several months to work through. The concept is we're going to get through that component so that, when we get to the urban plan time period, we can roll that information into that plan as one of the foundational components. So that's moving forward. The team's been working on that, and we'll be looked to get that RFP out and then ultimately landing a consultant that's going to help us move that work forward. So that was one item. The other item, this doesn't really fall into Matt's responsibilities, but he has been working on it as a result of Purple Prep, you'll remember, which is the Recycle Water Conversion Program. The take-up of that has been less than stellar. So, it has been a big learning experience. I always was under the opinion, if you build it, they'll come. You take for granted that recycled water is it's a great resource for the community, and people will just hook up. Even when Purple Prep removes the financial obstacles of the end user converting, that has not been the case. And so I think one of the tools that we're looking to bring forth for board consideration is the look at a recycled water use ordinance, so that we have the authority to help people get more interested in converting to recycled water. I still think Purple Prep is going to be a big part of that, but it will be another tool in the toolkit to help us really move things forward. There's a couple, different, depending on which recycled water areas you're talking about. The Vista Canyon thing, that should be a little bit easier to convert because there's kind of a known commodity there. People were expecting it. Phase 2B that goes off of that, there's some conversion challenges in there, but we've got some conversions that want to happen. The main one is the Westridge extension that has been really challenging. That was called Phase 2D. It goes to the Westridge community. It terminates at a couple of the schools, the junior high, the high schools. Those have all proven very challenging to move forward with. So
just no interest.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty much it. I wouldn't say no interest. It's just been really difficult to get them comfortable with the conversion, even knowing that we're going to kind of do the cost of that. So I just want you to be aware that that could potentially have some interest in the community about it if we're going to, really require people to convert. If it's available and the financial components are taken care of, we'll then be looking for people to convert. So we'll work through there. So that'll come in the next.
So there's no specific resistance issue, let's say, at presented?
Not really. Westridge is its own thing that is challenging for us. So we're trying to build relationships there that will get them interested. And that, is predominantly phase 2D aside from the schools. It was the Westridge area. The new phase 2C that's going to extend off of those, we've got a couple anchor clients that we've done a lot of pre-work with, College of the Canyons being one of those. And the city of Santa Clarita has several services off of that. And they've expressed interest in looking up. So just want you guys to be given a heads up. We're going to be looking at other ways to encourage the use of recycled water where it's available.
Okay.
And that completes my report on those items.
Questions from members of the public? Any virtual? There's none on that. All right. Directors, comments, questions?
At one time we had a program that we were going to partner with Six Flags Magic Mountain and convert that to recycled water as well. And there was a lot of infrastructure that had to go in, and we were going to put the infrastructure bill. That was a long time ago. And then Nancy's Tree Farm, and all that was kind of the first loop that was going to be put in. But I don't know. They're a big water user up there. I don't know if they're still interested in reclaimed water.
Yeah, and we can take another look at that. Obviously, with the expansion of the Mission Village project, we are going to have recycled water facilities closer. I think the challenge there, much like it will be at College of the Canyons, is the on-site conversion, right? And a lot of those systems loop internally with both potable and not potable water. And so you almost end up running, another full distribution loop within, in this case, the amusement park. But it's always good to take another look at it and see if it's, a place where it can be feasible at this point.
So it's the distribution. It's the extra lines of piping that's the showstopper, yeah?
Yeah, well, it depends on which connection. Some of the easier ones, like on phase 2D in the Westridge, now that's pretty much just some signage. a meter conversion at this point. So, and then you can convert, because it's just landscape usage,
yeah,
to recycled water. Some of the larger things like the schools and things, that takes a lot more effort depending on how they were constructed.
In your discussions with Six Flags many years ago, that was just for landscape use, right? It wasn't for Hurricane Harbor or anything like that.
Hurricane Harbor wasn't a part of it then, but it was for water on some of the other rides that they had.
Okay.
Yeah, the water standards for recycled water would not qualify for the Hurricane Harbor,
right,
like the actual.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Any other comments, questions, directors? Okay. Thank you. Let's move to item 5.2, sustainability and conservation staff activities. Again, presented by Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I don't have anything additional for that. Mr. Dickens will hopefully be back at the next committee to.
Okay.
We'll run through this.
So for the sake of protocol, any questions, comments from public? All right. And since there are no virtual attendees, let's move to item 6, committee plan calendar, presented by Mr. Cole.
Yes, thank you. The planning calendar is there for the committee's reminder, and we'll flip through. I'll just point out a couple items. And we will have a Delta conveyance facility presentation at the next board meeting. Staff was able to meet with the Delta Conveyance Authority today and just kind of walk through that and the expectations of that presentation. So hopefully you're all looking forward to that. I know many of you participated at the Aqua one, so maybe a refresh of some of that information. But it's an important project for us, and getting fully educated on it was something we want to make sure we do.
Everybody's supposed to, by the end of this month, isn't it? They're supposed to kind of give their determination whether they're in or out.
It's a little bit longer than that. They're looking at the timing of that. There's kind of those three, if you remember, kind of the three options.
Yes.
They are, it apparently looks like they're going to try and narrow that down to an option, or maybe at least two options. And then the request will go out for participants to, make a determination and a funding request, the next funding request that will come along. The only other item I'll report, the calendar shows the Devil's Den solar potential lease going in February. We'll actually be taking that next week. We were able to get the material together, and we'll be considering that in closed session, the terms of the potential lease for that property.
Excellent.
And that concludes what I had wanted to point out. Be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any comments, questions from the public? Okay. Directors? Glad to hear that item 2 on February 6th is being moved up. Okay. Let's move to item 7, adjournment. Thanks, everyone, for meeting today. Thank you, staff, directors. Thank you to the members of the public for attending this committee. Meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.